customary outer clothing, for he has now taken it off. And there he stands. There stands the agent of creation. There stands the Son of God in the clothing of a slave. Later, as he is being tortured by the Roman soldiers who are mocking him as a king, they find a robe and they put that purple robe on him, the color of royalty, the color of a king, in order to make fun of him. But all these images of Jesus as king and Jesus as a slave. And friends, therein is the paradox of the gospel. The words of the gospel message of your salvation are most majestic, are most powerful when they come clothed in acts of servanthood. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. What in the world does this mean? What is Jesus teaching his disciples? What's he teaching all of us by doing what he did that night and washing those disciples' feet? Years later, Paul the Apostle knew exactly what all of this meant. As a matter of fact, he tells us exactly what it meant in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. And he writes about Jesus, and he says, who, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Do you hear what Paul is saying? He is saying Jesus was a pre-existent, eternal member of the Holy Trinity of God, the dance of eternity, before he ever put on and wore flesh. Paul says, and when he wore it, when he was born to Mary, when he came, it was in fact an emptying of himself. Jesus did not consider his position of deity something to be grasped. He didn't see it as something to hold on to. It was something that he willingly relinquished. He willingly gave up to become a servant. And then Paul speaks to what that servanthood looked like. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, and here's the paradox, don't miss it. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, the gospel message of the Savior and the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in the context of death. Death on a cross. Jesus, the King, becomes a slave to cleanse us from our sins by his death on a cross. And that truth, that living parable, is enacted in this upper room as he washes his disciples' feet. Do you realize he has already told them, the greatest among you, the greatest, will be your servant. He's already told them, whoever exalts himself, he's going to be humbled. And whoever humbles himself, he will be exalted. The gospel paradox, the good news, is its most powerful when it comes wrapped up and bundled up in acts of servanthood. There are two reasons that I would propose to you this morning why that is so. Number one, servanthood demonstrates God's love, not his condemnation. When we do acts of servanthood, as Jesus did with his disciples, would you realize therein is a visible demonstration of God's love? Go back to verse 1 of chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast, and we've talked about this before. That is when close to 3 million people would all crowd into the city of Jerusalem to commemorate and celebrate Passover, a commemoration of the passing over of the death angel of all the households of Israel, while so many others would die that night. God's people had splashed the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, on the lintel, and it was celebrated at Passover. Jesus was in Jerusalem. He was there for the Passover celebration. It would be His last. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It is His blood that is about to be splattered on that wooden frame. You see, Jesus had come to Jerusalem intentionally to die. He had come to Jerusalem to fulfill and complete His own destiny. And John says Jesus knew it. He knew that the hour, He knew that the time had come for Him to complete His mission, to leave this world and to go back to the Father. What does that mean? It means He's going to die. Having loved His own who were in the world, John says, let me tell you, He loved them to the end. This whole scene was an expression of, was a demonstration of the love of God. That's what servanthood does. It demonstrates the love of God. Look at verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And the obvious inference here is, Jesus, you've got all of this backwards. I should be washing your feet, not the other way around. And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You see, the foot washing was an expression of the greater washing that was about to come with His blood on the cross for the sins of the world. And the implication is, Peter, if you do let me wash you, you will always and forever belong to me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, if that's true, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head and all of me as well. What Peter was missing, but what he would come to see, is that Jesus was pointing forward to this amazing act of service that He was about to do for all of us. Death on a cross. Why? Why? Because He loved us. Later, as John has reflected on what's just happened here, he writes in 1 John chapter 4, this is love. Here's your definition of love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John says, this is the gospel paradox that I witnessed. It's the gospel paradox that I saw lived out before me. In acts of service, people will listen to our message because we have demonstrated great love. Now, friends, you could not disagree that the world, for the most part, does not receive the message of Jesus as good news. Want to know why? Because it does not come bundled up in acts of servanthood. And so it's just words. It's just babble. It's just words that the world does not understand. Want to know why our own fellowship is not growing and continues to get smaller every year? The answer is very simple. Because the message of Jesus is offered mostly in just words. It does not come wrapped up in acts of service. It is a message that says, hey, you need to listen to this. You are all sinners and you're dying in your sin and you'd better repent, because if you don't, hell is going to be your destiny. Is that a true statement? It is. But it is not received as good news if it is not accompanied by demonstrations of God's love. So what must we do? Well, I know what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to put on the towel. And He wants us to wash feet. He wants us to do what He did, and that is to bundle the message of the good news in acts of servanthood. And when we humble ourselves, when we take the posture of a servant and we serve other people around us, we are then putting the gospel on full display. Talk is cheap. But when you are intentional about giving something up for the benefit of those around you, Jesus Christ is on full display. Servanthood demonstrates God's love, not His condemnation. Secondly, God's love demonstrated through servanthood makes the good news appealing, and not something less. When the music of servanthood is played to those around us, they will then become desperate to know the words. When Peter wanted Jesus to wash him all over, you remember what Jesus answered? He said, "Peter, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean." That is the nature of salvation. Jesus is saying, though you do not yet understand it, Peter, I am about to do for you on the cross by the shedding of my blood something that will make the words of the gospel appealing, so appealing, and not something else, not something less. Friend, whenever you are saved, whenever you allow Jesus to wash you by His blood, you are born again into the forever family of God. That's permanent. You don't have to keep taking baths. You are transformed. You are regenerated. You have a new identity as a child of God, and that doesn't change. The good news being given to Peter is music that is so appealing that when it is heard by someone who is being served, they will not rest until they know the words. Until they know the lyrics as well. Emerson writes, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." And Jesus is teaching, "I cannot but hear. I cannot but listen to what you say because of who you are. Because of what you do." Our message is not powerful, majestic, and appealing because it is locked up in here and it is not presented in humble acts of service out there. There's an old proof text that I have heard all of my life, an old proof verse used to validate something I think it doesn't. But nevertheless, listen to Romans 10, starting at verse 14. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent?" And usually right there is where we stop. But let's don't stop there this morning. Listen to the rest of it. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now I want to ask you a question. Have you just taken a moment and looked at your own feet lately? Have you? Most of the feet that I see, I sort of dread warm weather coming, you know. Because most of the feet that you are going to see in warm weather with all of these open-toed shoes is anything but beautiful. Most of the time I see those and I say, "Oh, cover that up." What Paul is saying is those feet represent action and giving and serving. And when those serving feet bring good news, those feet, even those feet, he says they are seen. So let's talk about the towel for just a moment and that whole concept of picking up the towel. What Jesus established in John 13 is the order of the towel. Look at verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." And then here's the paradox. He is the Lord. He certainly is. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." There it is. There is your invitation to join the order of the towel. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That's it. That's it. Period. We bundle the message of the gospel in acts of servanthood, lest it be received not as good news, but as something else, as something less. And there are two very distinctive characteristics of those who accept Jesus' invitation to be part of the order of the Tao. The first is, we are passionately responsive to the needs of others. Jesus' whole life was about giving himself away for the glory of God and the good of other people. This world, listen carefully, this community could care less about anything we have to say, anything, until we have earned the right in their lives to say it. We have to be something before we ever have the right to say something. You know what that means? It means we do feet. Second characteristic of those who accept Jesus' invitation is we lovingly pursue people who are far from God. We serve their needs. That's deeds. We lovingly pursue people who are far from God with the words of the gospel. We bring the words that go with the music that our servanthood has played. Friends, we've been sent into the world with the good news of the one who has rescued us to those who have not yet been rescued. And when someone says to me, I heard it this past week, oh, you're from that church that thinks. And I can't even finish the sentence. We have failed to be like Jesus and how he delivered good news. Lately, at the Well, the homeless ministry where Angela and I serve on Wednesday nights, I have been on door duty. Our security guys, you'll understand this. Basically, security. And I stand there and I hold the door and I hold my breath most of the time. I hold the door as I say, so glad you came tonight. Come on inside and get warm. Come inside and have something to eat. Come inside and have something to drink. Come inside and let us serve you. Sometimes I have to hold that door shut. Had to this week. And I have to say, I'm sorry, but you can't come in like this. You can't come inside in your condition. You can't come in drunk. You cannot come in high. But if you'll let me help you over to one of these benches that we have set up outside, I'll go inside and I'll get you a meal. What would you like to drink? Would you like coffee or tea? And I'll go get your meal and I'll help you get it set up. And we can just talk about what's going on in your life. I want that discussion. I want it. I never want again any discussion that says, oh, you're from the church that thinks. We've been giving out socks and coats and hats and gloves because it's cold outside. And guess what? Outside is where they are. Before we eat, every Wednesday night before we eat, we all stand together and we recite together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, I'm going to tell you, there's something about standing beside a man whose legs are unsteady, whiskey on his breath, and hearing him say, forgive my debt, Lord. Lord, please just forgive me. I know who I am. I know what I am. Question has come in the midst of all that. Well, how many of those people have you baptized? How many? Servanthood opens the door for the message of the gospel of Jesus to be received. And this is not a sales tactic. So please do not see it that way. It is not a close the deal technique that we employ to try and reach our ultimate destination, a baptistry. That's not it. Servanthood is all about, now that I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Now, friends, I know and I understand that in this series, the rubber's right down on the pavement. And I will tell you, I am looking in a reflective mirror with every message. You want to know why churches are dying? You just learned why. I just told you why. You want to know why our faith is not successfully being transplanted to our children so that they might claim it as their own, as real, as powerful, as something that will be with them all of their lives? We just learned why. I just told you why. We have not yet joined the order of the Tao. See, Jesus showed us what to do. And He showed us how to do it. And in so many ways, we just haven't yet. We have not. Servanthood is the beautiful music that is played in the life of another that compels them to ask you to teach them the lyrics, the words as well. May God give us eyes to see. That's lesson number three. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the good news message of the gospel. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who has not received that news, who's not accepted Jesus as their Savior, that they might do so even this hour. Father, thank You that Jesus didn't just come and teach us the gospel with words, but He taught us with actions. Taught us by the way He lived and by the way He died. We thank You. And we praise You, and we pray in His name. Amen. If you need to make a response to the invitation of Christ this morning, you can do that right now. Let's stand and sing.